So where are we today? As you can see, Medicare Advantage is the leader when it comes to this, the movement to value and different payment models. But everyone's involved, be it Medicaid, commercial plans. Interestingly, the current head of CMMI talked about his role being to blow up fee-for-service. And what I think this graphic shows is everybody's kind of swimming in the same direction. Everybody, for the most part, recognizes that we're paying for value. And there isn't that much, as I mentioned a moment ago, there isn't that much of a distinction between public side and private side. Everybody recognizes that's where we're heading.
Right, and one of the things, too, that I wanted to mention that I was found most significant on this slide is the when you look at Medicare Advantage being so high, 49.5%, I actually expect that to increase over the next, I'd say, 5 years or so. I think what I've found both sort of externally and internally is the increased focus on Medicare Advantage because what folks are wanting to do is transition lives out of ACO models into MA because of the risk profile there, and I've been in discussions in DC about opportunities to have a glide path from MSSP ACO models to MA. And interestingly, Centene just announced today, I'm sure you saw, the acquisition of WellCare, which is based out of Tampa, and one of the reasons given for that acquisition is actually related to MA. So I'm not surprised by this graphic, and I expect it to continue as well. And as we go to the next slide, something that I wanted to focus on, and this is basically saying that payers are thinking that this trend is going to continue as well. One of the slides that we don't have but I think is incredibly relevant is that employers also, I would say, expect this trend to continue. And what we're seeing and is supported sort of on a national trend, too, you're starting to see large employers like General Motors, Boeing, Walmart, others engage in direct-to-employer models. And it's because when I say direct-to-employer models, it's because of the reason Jeff mentioned, the unsustainability of costs. So employers are basically coming to systems like ours and wanting to have an understanding of what their bottom line healthcare expenditures are going to be for the year. And that has increased exponentially over the last couple years. And I was mentioning to Jeff when we were preparing for this, even within the last month, I've gotten so many invitations to various direct-to-employer conferences and benefit opportunities and that kind of thing. So I think we're going to see an increase in Medicare Advantage and the employers kind of looking for opportunities to get better control and understanding of what their baseline costs are going to be as a trend going forward.
Yeah, I think direct-to-employer contracting, though we don't focus on it much tonight in our presentation, is a huge area. In part because of the demographic trends. And when you look at millennials especially, they care much less about relationships with their providers. What they want is convenience and cost. And if you can give that to them, they're willing to accept the trade-offs of narrower networks or clinics that are aligned with their employer. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting things going on in this realm. And employers, you know, it's a huge top-line expense, as we all know. So I think we'll continue to see some interesting arrangements coming from the employer side driving the pressure almost as much as plans.
Right, and we talk so much, too, about kind of where we're going to see the reforms, whether or not they're going to come out of D.C. or from the private sector. In my opinion, it's going to be a combination of both. And particularly when you start to think about the market disruptors like Amazon and also the merger that we've seen between CVS and Aetna. And in particular, there was recently an announcement about kind of wellness clinics being offered in a new way in Houston. I think we're going to continue to see types of offerings like that combined with the kind of the direct-to-employer model as well. So when we're here next year, we're gonna be talking about that.
Yeah, the Amazonification of healthcare, I think, is a fascinating topic and the parallels. I've young kids, and I was joking with my parents the other day. I can't believe you actually had to go to the store to buy diapers. You couldn't just get them shipped directly to you. And thinking in healthcare, I think there's going to be that generational shift as well of young people who expect healthcare to come to them, whether it's telehealth or this very neat company I was reading about a few weeks ago called 98.6, and it's numerical 98, point spelled out, 6. It's a company based in Seattle. Is direct-to-physician messaging. And they are working with employers. They've signed up a lot of employers in the Seattle area, including Seattle Children's Hospital. There's a 6% take-up among their employees. And just to give you a sense, telehealth, it's usually 2 to 3%. And 24 hours a day, you go online, you start typing messages, and what's really interesting is 50% of this is with bots. So you start messaging, and you're just messaging with a bot, but the bot is collecting information about what you need to speak to the physician about and then puts you in touch with the correct physician. So this is just an interesting example, to Janet's point, of private sector, public sector, where the innovation is going to come from. But like a lot of things, I think it's going to be the next generation of employees, patients, consumers that will drive that change.